Before we get started, I want to tell you about a couple advertisements. They come from the Bible. The first one is from Luke 12:27, and I want to ask you a question. In the Old Testament, what was one? Can anybody name one of the seven wonders of the world?
The Garden of Babylon.
Garden of Babylon. That's right. Another one that came to my mind was Solomon's Temple. People came from around the world to see it. And my text says, consider the lilies, and some of the text says, consider the wildflowers, how they grow. They toil not nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Advertisement is for the 50th Glide Wildflower Show this weekend, and I want to encourage you to go. And some of wildflowers are small, and you may need something like this, but they're worth getting a microscope and taking a microscope to it because they are awesome. And nothing man has made will replace one of these. Now, for those that want to know the cost, it is free, but they ask for a donation of $3. I want to tell you, don't give them $3, give them $10, because it promotes a good thing and just want to support it. The second advertisement can happen along the way. This is from Matthew 25:34-40. The king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? And the king will say unto them in reply, I say to you, whatever you did to the least of these my brethren, you did it for me. On the way to the Glide Wildlife Flower, stop and see Barbara Main. She's in the hospital at Mercy. And stop at the Umpqua Rehab and see Tilly Tilly. We're missing her greeting out there. And I just want to encourage you to do that. It takes a little bit out of your time. And if you don't know what to tell them, just say, we're praying for you. I want to encourage you to be strong for Jesus. Okay, now the sermon. Miracles. Miracles. What is a miracle? Noah Webster says it is an effect or an extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known or natural powers, and is ascribed to a supernatural cause, such as an effect or an event manifesting or considered as a work of God, a wonder, or a marvel. The lessons we will be learning this morning come from 2 Kings chapter 4, the first part. Actually, there are two fantastic stories in 2 Kings, but we will just be talking about the first one. The second miracle is for another sermon. Now, Mike last night gave me an idea, and so I want you guys to take this idea home with you, is write up a miracle that occurred in your life. And my next sermon will be just maybe a Bible verse or two, and it'll be you telling about miracles that happened in your life. So that's three sermons coming up. Anyway, before I start, I'd like to stop for a word of prayer. Dear God, we come to you this morning
asking for your blessing. Help me to be able to tell this story from 2 Kings and to present it in a way that will honor you. Help us to think of the miracles that you have done for us, because you ask us to reveal what you have done in our lives. In thy holy name, amen. Do miracles happen today, or are they reserved for Bible times? I believe that God is as real today as he was in Bible times, and God is always willing to do miracles in our lives. Why? Because he wants what is best for us. God is always 100% good, and his miracles are always good for us. So we have to trust God that when we need a miracle, it will be for our good. Not all prayers are answered the way we want them to be answered, and not all hoped-for miracles happen. But we have to have faith in God that when we want a miracle done, it will be for our good, because God always knows best. Sometimes we don't understand and things don't come out the way we think is best. But God is good all the time, and his miracles are for our good. A lot of answers we won't know until we get to heaven. A good example of a miracle is a man in our church that was recently baptized. I didn't know until after he became a Seventh-day Adventist, but his mother was a Seventh-day Adventist. He was in his 80s when he was baptized, and his mother had been praying for him for many years until she died, and nothing happened. She went to rest in Jesus, knowing that he had not made a commitment for God, but God had a plan to answer his mother's prayers. After his first wife died, who also had been praying for him, he met and married a nice Seventh-day Adventist lady and came to a series of meetings just to be nice, because she was nice to him. Well, the Holy Spirit worked on his heart, and he became convicted of the truth and requested baptism. With tears in his eyes, he said, "I will have to wait to see my mother in heaven so she can realize that God answered her prayers in a miraculous way." So my message from that is, if there is nothing else we can do, we can pray. And let those we are praying for know we are praying for them, for God loves to answer our prayers. My mother-in-law, Ruth, had been in a nursing home for 4 years, and she'd prayed for all of her family, and God loved that. He wants to answer all her prayers, and I have seen the good in her prayers that have done for us and our family. Thank you, Ruth. And we will not know the miracles she asked God to do on our behalf until we get to heaven. Okay, now let's turn to 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7 for the miracle God worked through Elisha. This is the story of the woman who was the wife of one of the sons of the prophets who died and left her in debt. I'm going to read from the Bible. Verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Verse 2. So Elisha said to her, What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in your house. And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Verse 3. Then he said, "Go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. Verse 4, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. 6, now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest. That was the Bible version. This is Dr. Luke's version. There was a man who was one of the sons of the prophets. He was a minister in training. With a self-supporting work in the ministry, he took out a large loan to buy seed and some property, and then he unexpectedly died. He left his young wife and two young boys with a staggering debt. Back in Bible times, you could not file chapter 11 or chapter 13 bankruptcy. Your creditor had the right to take your possession of your property and your valuables, and if that was not enough, he had the right to take your children as slaves for years until the debt was worked off. This was a very tragic thing. Day by day, this creditor came, knocked on the door and said, I want payment. And she would say, I don't have any money. And he would say, I am taking your rugs. And march off, and there was nothing anyone could do to stop him. He had that right. A few weeks later, he came back and would say, I want my money. And she would say, I have no money. And he would take the furniture out of the house. And this merciless creditor was clearing out of the house one precious thing after another, and she would have to hand over these articles. Finally, in desperation, she went to Elisha and said, help, what can I do? And Elisha tells her what to do. And Elisha tells her, what do you have left in your house? He points her to the resources that she still has, as small as they might be. Sometimes we forget we have something. We waste our time thinking about what we don't have or what was taken away. When Jesus said to the disciples, feed the people, they said, how are we going to feed these thousands? And he says, what do you have? They said, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Jesus said, utilize what you have and quit calling them small fishes. God promised us that if we are faithful, that if we utilize the little we have, he will give us more. He is faithful in that what is much. Well, everything was gone except they had this little jar of oil. Back in Bible times, oil was one of the most precious commodities they could have had. Elisha told her to go and gather your neighbors, not a few, but many, as many as you can. Then pour oil in all these vessels, and her sons had filled the whole room with all these empty vessels. Did you see it? God, in his loving kindness, had helped them clear their house of all their old junk and made room for all those vessels. He had something more precious in mind for them, and what they thought was their loss was their gain. And it continued to pour, and she was filling all these vessels, and then she said, "Wow, this is great, bring me another vessel." And they said, "There is not one empty vessel left," so the oil ceased. The miracle continued as long as there were empty vessels available. Then she said to Elisha, "What do I do?" And the prophet said, "Go and sell the oil and pay off the debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Not only did they get rid of the debt, they had income for the future. Sometimes God works a miracle right in front of our eyes, and then he has to turn around and explain to us how to use his miracle. Did you also notice that there was a surplus? Have you noticed that when God works miracles, there's often leftovers? The Bible says that our cup runs over. Jesus, when he multiplied the loaves and fishes, there was how much left over? 12 baskets. You can find throughout the Bible that God is very faithful. And he said that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there is not room enough. Do you know why? Do you know why there's an abundance? God wants to bless his people abundantly. Okay. What is symbolized by the vessel and the oil? Acts 9:15 says, "But the Lord said to him, unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." People were called vessels in the Bible. The Bible tells us, "I am the potter, you are the clay," and he fashions us all into all kinds of vessels. Don't miss this point, that this woman, what does a woman represent in prophecy? The church. This woman, the church, brings empty vessels into her home, and there she pours oil into those empty vessels that they are filled. All the different vessels, sizes, and shapes in her home. You know, this is God's church, and we are to bring empty vessels into our dwelling places and share what we have, and God will multiply it. You may not be the best preacher. You may not know all what the Bible says, but share what you have, and God will multiply it. You notice that God does not fill full vessels. Also, God works these miracles for us, not in our abundance, but in our emptiness. He waited until she was out of stuff, that he began to work with her and perform a miracle. I got to thinking, maybe she was a hoarder and needed to get rid of her stuff. Sometimes God waits until we have our last loaf of bread or our last vial of oil, just like Elijah. Yes, Elijah this time. The woman and her son, God waits until she has a little oil, a little flour, and two sticks, and then God works a miracle. Sometimes he makes you wait at the Red Sea, and you have the Egyptians charging down your neck. And then he parts the sea. Do you know why? You do not learn faith when God takes care of everything in advance. We need to learn lessons of trust. Someone may say, "If I keep the Sabbath truth, I may lose my job. What am I to do?" You do God's will, and then let him work the miracle. A few months ago, Barb and I went out to Iowa to see her mother that was dying. We prayed, "When should we go? Because we have all this and that going on." I said, We will pray, and you just book it, and we will see what God will do. Well, Barb's mom was comatose when we arrived there, but when we arrived, her mother woke up, and Barb and her sister and I talked and visited with her for the first 2 days. Then the day we left, she could not talk very well and was confused. The day after we left, she became comatose again and died a couple days later. That was a miracle. Also, while we were there, they had a big snowstorm for 2 days, and the day after we, and which was quite fun, but we couldn't have flew in and out if we would have came sooner or later. The day after we left for home, it cleared, but it was a -6 degrees out all day, and half of the flights were canceled. We made it out of Cedar Rapids late, but made our connection in Denver because our pilots on the next flight were late, and thus we made the connection that, and made it home. Also, starting the next day after we left for home, it snowed for 2 more days, and no flights left the airport for 2 days. That was a collection of miracles. So many people think, I will keep the truth after God works a miracle. No, no, that is not how God operates. He says, you step out in faith, then I will part the sea. You know, he wants to move mountains for you and part the sea for you, but you have to step out in faith. Now, what does the oil represent? 1 Samuel 16:3 says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. The Holy Spirit anointed David there. The Bible uses the word anoint. The Jews' word is Messiah. Christ was anointed when he began his ministry with the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, Christ's disciples were anointed with the Holy Spirit when they began their ministry. You know, Jesus says, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The lesson about the oil talks about the importance of having the Holy Spirit. Everybody that has the seal of God has the Holy Spirit. Why do you want the Holy Spirit, the oil? That's answered in John 16:3. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. He will show you things to come. Also, John 14:26 says, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatever I have said to you. Do you want the oil, the Holy Spirit? Yes, we do. What an amazing story. Miracles happened back in the time of Elisha. Amazing miracles, and they still happen today. Let us ask and seek earnestly for our vessels to be filled of the Word of God, and that we may be filled to the brim with the oil, the Holy Spirit, so we can accept the greatest miracle, the kingdom of God for eternity. Wow, the best is yet to come. No matter your age, like my mother, age 96, or my dad who died at age 99, you can be a prayer warrior too. Christ's second coming to take us all home with him and to restore us with him is ever, forever, is truly the best to come. Amen? Amen. I just want to let you know, if you're alive, God wants to work miracles in your life. And God is working miracles in the lives of every one of us here in church. And he wants to work more miracles in your life. There's a miracle going on right now. And all we have to do is say, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to hear fantastic stories in heaven from our angels about miracles that we didn't even realize happened. Let's turn to our closing song, number 633. This is when we're going to realize that miracles we didn't even know happened. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we come to you today thanking you for the miracles that you've given us from the Bible. Thank you for the miracles that you're working in our lives. And we thank you for the miracle that of Jesus Christ that came to die for us. We don't understand that fully, but we do accept that miracle, and we want to be restored with you in heaven in thy holy name. Amen.